On the football field, the action happens in the blink of an eye. It's like that off the field too when you've been injured. In a split second, your life is changed. Whether on the field or in the courtroom, when you've been injured, you need the right teammates by your side. You need Chase and Boscolo, a law firm willing to protect and fight for your rights. On the football field or in the courtroom, having the right team determines whether you win or lose. When injuries change your life, call Chase and Boscolo, trial lawyers that care. What Makes You Smile is brought to you by Dominion National. For anyone that needs dental and vision benefits, I have a one-stop shop for you. TeethKeeperSave.com. TeethKeeperSave.com offers dental and vision benefits for everyone with plans starting under $7 a month. Don't have benefits through your employer? Are you self-employed and need dental and vision benefits? TeethKeeperSave.com has various plans for individuals to choose from. Visit TeethKeeperSave.com today and enroll in minutes.
This is CSN's Redskins Talk. Here is your host, JP Finley.
What up, everybody? Redskins Talk Podcast here, JP Finley along with Rich Tandler. Tandler, say what's up, man.
Hey, what's up, man?
Ah, look at you, getting spry in episode 102. Plenty to talk about. I think Redskins fans... Tandler, what do you think the pulse is? Confused? Alarmed? Somewhere in between?
I think there are... You know, I'm getting a few tweets like, should they go ahead and tank the season? I would say that's a minority, but it's out there.
So, are you serious?
It's alarmed, yes. Not a bunch, but I've gotten some.
To tank the season?
Yes, just go ahead. Mediocrity, if you're going to be 8-8, that's no good. Can't get out of it that way, so just tank the season.
Well, I mean, seems a little...
That's one extreme.
Right. I haven't got... I haven't gotten
On the other hand, I've gotten a few, hey, they're going to be fine. I still think they'll make the playoffs. You know, so it's kind of like, you know, those are two extremes. And then I think most people they're obviously disappointed. But, you know, after maybe venting a little bit, I think most fans realize that it's game one of 16. They have a winnable, although, you know, looks a little 46-9 against the Colts. I don't care who you're playing. 46-9 is a good win, and you know, but it's still a winnable road game coming up. They come out of this 1-1. I think they'll be okay.
That Colts team is terrible, man.
They are worse than terrible.
I mean, without Andrew Luck, that looks like a 2-14, 3-12 team to me.
Yes, potentially,
but. I think, you know, I think Skins fans are right to be concerned. I mean, nothing has really looked good. But the flip side is, while nothing has really looked good, they still almost, they were in position to make a run at the end of the game and see if they could beat Philly.
Yeah, and then look, there were things that looked good. They had their running defense, their rushing defense was excellent. I think it was 2.8 a carry.
Yeah, the Eagles couldn't run the ball at all.
For the Eagles, I think, you know, Wentz was just hard to, you know, they won't face a whole lot of quarterbacks like him, although they'll face one. I mean, he is young, large, and athletic, and just, you know, Gruden counted out 4 sacks that he got away from today. You know, those are sacks. You can do the same thing against the Giants, you're going to get to Eli Manning probably at least 3 of those 4 times.
Right.
If you do it again, I don't know. Maybe Goff is a little bit mobile. I don't think he's as mobile as Wentz. You're probably going to get, you know, two more and have 4 for the game against Goff. So I think the pass rush was encouraging as well.
Yeah, pass rush was encouraging. Rush defense, like you said, I think. You know, we can start on some positives. Zach Brown was really good. I think Norman played well. I think Breland played well. You know, the one big pass play was kind of a breakdown by Swearinger. But they also, I mean, somebody, maybe Craig Hoffman or somebody on Twitter counted out. Wentz created like 7 seconds on that play.
No, it was not. It was 9 seconds snap to throw.
Right. I mean, no, you're not going to stop anybody for 9 seconds, you know?
No.
I think they're going to be okay going to L.A. I really do. And I recognize I might be in the minority there, but I just think it's kind of the setup of the game, I think, bodes well for them.
Yeah, it should. And, you know, I guess we can talk about the McVay factor. He knows them pretty well, but also, you know, Gruden, you know, is it the student or the teacher?
Right.
Do you favor in a matchup like this?
Right. All right. So I actually have some notes to go through today, Tandler. How about that?
Okay.
I have Rams and McVay further down my list just because I know we're going to do more of our preview on Friday. So the biggest, I was on the Junkies on Tuesday morning, and I'm sure you've been talking to folks about it as well. The most kind of perplexing situation going on in Redskins town right now is certainly the Josh Doctson situation.
Yeah, well, obviously in the moment it is. I'm kind of going to withhold judgment on it to see if, indeed, you know, Gruden said he expects him to play 35 to 40 snaps against the Rams. So if he plays those, I mean, that's right around what maybe a little bit light prior played 50.
So I got the snaps here. I got it. Pryor played 53 snaps. Crowder was right behind him at 49. This is receivers. Pryor played 53. Right. Crowder played 49. Grant played 37. Then you go to Doctson at 20. Brian Quick had 6 snaps. So
I think you're probably talking about flip-flopping Doctson's and Grant's workloads. Get Grant down to more like 20. Get Doctson those 37, assuming you have right around the same number of snaps. It was 63 snaps for the offense, I believe. So, then a week from today, we're not discussing it. If he plays 20, 25, even, you know, fewer than 30 snaps, I think we have, you know, then, okay, then this is a multi-week issue here.
I think that's fair, and maybe we give Coach the benefit of the doubt, because as weird as the practice discussion has been, which I'm kind of having a hard time believe that Jay wants him to earn it more, but he practiced all week. He was a full participant. I mean, what's he doing wrong, you know?
Right.
So
how well did he practice? Was he taking to coaching? Was he running his routes correctly? Was he, you know, was he getting "quote unquote" the plays? You know, it's not just quantity of practices that matters; it's quality that he's talking about. I don't know. I'm just speculating. Sure, speculation on him having issues at practice.
I want to agree with you, Tandler. You and I also watched DeSean Jackson and how much was tolerated with DeSean. And now, granted, Deshaun's track record in the NFL is pretty damn good, and it has been for
just a little bit. Yeah, I think he'd maybe earned a little more respect. You know, God, people aren't going to get treated the same. I mean, that's
right. But I'm just saying. I think I'm. You're right. I think we hold off a week before worrying about Doctson not playing enough, because if they play him enough next week, it works out. It's not. That storyline is dead.
Right.
But if it doesn't, we're going to have to talk about that a lot.
Right. I would agree.
Okay. So we're both going to agree to wait 1 week before we start spitting hot takes on that. Is that accurate?
That's accurate, yes.
Okay. I wrote about it for CSM in Atlantic, and I found the practice conversation around it kind of a little much, I guess, but I do think Jay was clear in that he expects Doctson to be a big part of this offense, so as long as that happens, I think fans don't have to worry too much about everything else.
Right, exactly.
All right, next on my list, Since we dove into the receiver snap counts, you had a good story, and you had a good headline for it. I'll give you credit on the snap counts for the team and kind of what surprised you and what didn't. So take us through that if you can, just maybe your highlights from that piece.
Well, it wasn't any surprise that Jonathan Allen led all rookies in snaps I don't have the numbers in front of me here, but about 42, I think. But he led all defensive linemen in snaps, which was a little bit surprising.
I thought
he'd kind of get broken in a little bit, a little bit more gradually.
Totally.
Than that.
I found that surprising. I figured it'd be McGee or Ziggy Hood, one of those guys that would lead the snap count for
right.
D linemen.
Yeah, somebody that had been around for a while. But so we had that. Ryan Anderson played 10 snaps on defense, none on special teams, which kind of made sense because I don't think they wanted to risk that stinger on him running down on kickoff coverage. That's something else to check back.
Well, and I would add,
in a couple of weeks, if a linebacker is up and not starting, he needs to play special teams.
Well, here, if I can add one thing on Ryan Anderson, one of his snaps cost Junior Gallette a sack. So they're going to be, you know, it's one of those things that they couldn't really joke with him about because they lost. But I'm sure Junior wouldn't have minded getting a sack his first game back in 2 years.
Yes, and he did get to celebrate one. But you're right, it got called back. So maybe he can get his first sack all over again in the Coliseum on Sunday.
Well, how about this though? So John Allen led in defensive snaps, but Matt Ioannidis.
Defensive line snaps.
I'm sorry, defensive line snaps. Matt Ioannidis was second.
Yeah, that was also I would not have predicted that either. Like you said, I expected Hood, McGee, maybe McClain to be ahead of Ioannidis, but that's him. Ioannidis didn't play bad. He got half a sack. I think he got a quarterback hurry somewhere along the way. He played pretty well.
Yeah, you said he didn't play bad. I would say he played well.
I was damning with faint praise there.
We know you're a tough grader and all, Tandler.
Yeah, that's true.
One thing I expected, and I think I kind of said this last week on the podcast, Rob Kelly and Chris Thompson, that thing's going to be much more of a legitimate timeshare than it is an RB1 and a third down back. Do you agree with me there?
Well, yeah, it was 33 Kelly, 30 Thompson. I think it will be if they have a lead. You know, they were behind. I think Thompson, he got a lot of snaps. They ran it wasn't quite a two-minute drill to their second touchdown there, but they scored with less than 2 minutes left. He was a little bit of a hurry-up. He was in for a lot of that. And then their last couple of series at the end. So maybe that was, that will tend to get skewed by game situations some.
Certainly.
Yeah, I think you're right. They're pretty close games, relatively. So, yes, I think that I would generally agree that could be more of a timeshare. I think they will want to get – Samaje Perine did not get a snap on offense, 10 on special teams. I think they want to get him in. They'll want to give him some carries here and there. They don't want him coming in completely cold if they need him. Of course, when you only run 14 times, it's hard to work in. But with your running backs, it's hard to work in your other guy.
Yeah, for sure. All right, so and then there wasn't anything else that really stood out from the snap count, I don't think. I mean, guys like Norman Breland, they're going to play every snap. Foster and Brown, I think, really solidified things in the middle. I think the injection of Zach Brown's speed is a really positive development for this team. We've been talking about it for a while. I guess Trent Williams came out for a few snaps, but no big deal there. I mean, he missed 3 or 4 snaps, I'm guessing.
Yeah, four snaps.
All right, so I'm curious. We've had a little time to kind of go over everything. I've watched the game again. I'm guessing you have too. Where are you at on Kirk Cousins' performance?
Well, you know, if you look back, he had a 72.9 quarterback passer rating. You look back, that is his worst passer rating since a year ago, exactly, when in the season opener against the Steelers. And then you go back, he had a few lower in 2015, one of which was the season opener in 2015 against the Dolphins. So he does not start well. Now, you know, that's a separate, that's an issue. It's kind of a moot point by now, but it does take him some time to get going. Maybe that's not what you want out of a $24 million player, but it seems to be, you know, we have a trend here of him starting slowly. I think, you know, I think he can be the same guy that he's been in, you know, after he gets a few games under his belt.
I agree. I think I'm curious, not having McVay there, what kind of impact that has and if we're going to see more of that. But it's one game. I do think there's been too much criticism on Terrell Pryor. I don't really think Pryor is as to blame. Pete Haley and I were kind of debating this thing on our Slack channel that first play of the game, the throw to Pryor, I don't put that on Pryor.
You have to put some of it on it. You know, again, it's a matter of, you know, there should have caught and could have caught. You can't say he should have caught
that. That throw was very.
Could have caught it.
It was overthrown, man.
I don't know. I think if he'd seen it, I think he'd let up a little bit because he didn't know where the ball was.
I don't know, man. That didn't seem like a catchable ball, but. You know, that's what makes it fun to watch, I guess, is that we can kind of disagree on that. The drop down near the goal line, that was just a killer, and there's no argument about that. But that first play of the game, that's got to be an inside hash throw, and I think it was overthrown by 5 or 6 yards.
Okay. It's like I said, you know, it's just hard to project what would have happened. I think if he'd kept on going full out, I think he might have been able to catch it. If he sees the ball earlier, which might have been hard to do because I don't know, you know, if he could, you know, that. Put it this way, I mean, it's not, you know, you can't expect everybody to do this. In fact, you can't expect anybody but DeSean Jackson to do it. But that's one of those balls that DeSean Jackson tracks down.
Yeah. I don't know if DeSean was getting to that one, but yeah. But DeSean's also, I mean, like we said before, he's an elite receiver in the league.
Right.
All right. So I want to do two things that'll be kind of fun, hopefully. This podcast is going to air Wednesday morning. Wednesday is a big, long day out at Redskins Park. We get to talk to Jay Gruden. We get to talk to Kirk Cousins. We get to talk to a number of players, coaches, everybody out at the park. I'm going to ask you one question you have for the Skins. So I'll start because I didn't warn you about this, so I'm going to give you a little bit of a heads up. My one question is, and this is probably a Jay Gruden question, Morgan Moses seemed like he was playing hurt. It got revealed later that he was playing hurt. I saw him coming out of the X-ray MRI room. Was there ever a discussion about pulling Morgan Moses, and when was he hurt? That's what I want to know, and kind of what's his status for next week?
Pro Football Focus had him with 3 sacks, which, you know, they're not always, you know, they don't know all the assignments all the time, but that's not too far off for a guy who they only had down for 5 sacks last year. That is not a good day.
Right. And I think he's better than he showed. All right, what's your one thing to ask?
see, I asked him about, I'm really, I probably need to phrase it a little different, maybe, but, you know, about running the ball. I asked him about it yesterday, and I don't know, you know, if there's a different angle, but that it really kind of, you know, yeah, it got away from us. What does that, I'm not sure what that means. You know, what it got, you just forget to run the ball. You know, you spend hours game planning, and you forget that you need to run the, you know, that you said at that very podium the previous week, we have to be multidimensional to win. So I did, you know, more about the running game, why it wasn't clicking. Maybe find out from Cousins if he, you know, if he audibled away from some runs, if he saw some passes. Gruden did say that a few run calls got audibled to passes. So see about that. But, you know, that's really, you know, they have a good, you know, they averaged, I think, 3 yards per carry, at least Kelly did. And that, you know, but on just 10 carries, you really can't say if that's a good or a bad running game, because eventually, you know, that's what Trent kept telling us during the preseason. Well, you know, we got to have the whole game, keep working at it, eventually we wear them down, and the running game gets going. So, you know, kind of that whole question still seems to be unanswered to me.
All right, that's what we want to find out. Now, Tandler's is more of a big picture. Mine's a little bit more specific, but they're kind of intertwined, too, because if they know Morgan can't go or Morgan's limited, that could impact the run game, you know?
Right. All right. Exactly.
So the over-under stuff has been fun. You kind of took it on the chin last week, but there's a whole...
fun for half of us.
there's a lot of season left. Now, I do want to keep score, but I was thinking the Wednesday podcast, it could be fun to, we can, because, you know, when you and I were going through to set the over-unders last week was kind of a fun little conversation. So I'm thinking we'll do that now. I think each week we will do Kirk's passing numbers and Rob Kelly's running numbers, and then the third one will be a bit of a wild card. So let's start. Kirk against the Rams. Last week, the Rams only gave up 128 passing. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Scott Tolzien had 128 passing yards. Jacoby Brissett came in and had 51 passing yards. They also picked off Tolzien twice. So what is that total? About 179 passing yards is what the Rams gave up last week. I am going to go out on a limb and say that Kirk Cousins is significantly better than Scott Tolzien and Jacoby Brissett combined. So, Tandler, I'm going to set, I think we should set Kirk Cousins over-under for passing yards. What did we say last week?
275.
I think we got to drop it down based on what we saw week one. I'll set it at 245.
Okay.
What do you think? Is that too low?
Yeah, I mean, you got 240 last week.
Yeah, some of that was junk, but yeah.
I think I just coincidentally 275 kind of feels right for an over under.
Even this week?
Yeah. Why would the?
I mean, just because
you just don't know. The Rams do have a pretty good defense. Jackson Johnson.
Yeah, Aaron Donald's coming back.
Yeah, Aaron Donald will probably be back. They got Brockers. You know, they have some quality defensive players there.
All right, so you want to keep it at 275?
Yeah. Probably should.
Okay, well, not to ruin the suspense, but I'm going under. all right, Rob Kelly, we gotta change this one. Last week we had him at 65 yards.
Wait, so does that mean I have to go over?
No, dude, you can go wherever you want.
But that doesn't make for a good TV segment.
Honesty is what makes good television and good content, and we're not going to do it just to have you and I
when
go.
When did that start?
Man, Taylor, I think we just got to be authentic to who we are and what we think. So if producers decide we have to yell at each other, we can. But I think that's too high, dude. So maybe we can lower it, and then we can each land on a different side. But I think 275 is too high.
Okay, well, where should it be?
260? Yeah, maybe 260. But if you think he's going to 300 regardless, we can leave it at 275. You're a numbers guy. You believe in the numbers.
I think the first couple of weeks, I don't think he's got a 300 in him.
So
maybe against the Raiders the following week, but I don't think he's ready for that yet.
RT, I got to say I'm confused here. I said you wanted it to be 275. You want it lower or not?
I don't know. We can lower. I said 260. I just threw that out there. I don't know.
How about this?
Looking at numbers.
265.
Okay, 265 is fine.
265 set. Rob Kelly.
Okay.
Rob Kelly, I'm saying 45 yards.
Where do we have it last week?
Now we had it at now remember, we're not picking over or under. We're just trying to set the baseline.
Right.
Now, the Rams were able to run the ball. Frank Gore rushed for 40 yards, Marlon Mack rushed for 24. The running backs on the Rams gained 70 yards roughly. So I think 45 is a good number for Rob Kelly. Or do you want to make this a little more interesting and make it total yards for Chris Thompson rather than rush yards for Rob Kelly?
No, let's stick with rush yards for Kelly for right now.
Okay. How do you feel about 45? Again, you're not picking. Just how do you think it is as a baseline?
I think it sounds a little low. I think 50.
All right, we'll do 50.
55. Okay.
50 rush yards.
Okay.
I'm writing these down so we don't forget. All right.
Got it.
Here's our wild card. So last week for the wild card, we had Terrell Pryor catches at 4.5. This week, I think we go with Josh Doctson catches. And I will make it one lower. I'll say 3.5 catches for Josh Doctson. What say you, Rich Taylor? And you can, if you want to pick another wild card, we can do that.
No, that's what I was thinking too. So, would you say 3.5?
3.5.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, that seems right.
All right. You now have 3 days to think about these. Because I tell you what, Taylor, just like the Redskins can't drop to 0-2, you can't drop to 0-6 and over-under, man. That's dangerous territory.
I will do some investigating.
Should we make a weekly bet on this thing? One cheer whine from the Redskins media trailer soda machine?
I don't really like cheer whine.
Well, you can get one. How much are those Starbucks things you like?
They're twice as much.
Whoa! All right. One cheer whine. One win is a cheer whine. Two wins is a Starbuck. Wait, does that mean it's a dollar, dude?
No. Oh, those are only 50 cents?
Yeah, the cheer whine's only
50.
Damn, that's three times as much, man.
I thought the cheer whines were more.
50 cents. Is there a soda in there you like? Do you like Mountain Dew or something?
I'm not a big soda guy.
You're a big coffee.
We'll figure something out.
You're a big iced coffee while on the podcast guy. I know that.
I'm not doing that today.
All right. All right.
Not iced water.
All right. We've done well here. We've got our over-under set. We got some good things. RT, tell the people what you are so good at telling the people.
Subscribe. I mean, we just did one. What, 48 hours ago or something? And now we're doing nothing. You got to keep track. You got to listen to them all. And you've got to subscribe. So go to Apple Podcasts. Go to Google.
Just call it iTunes, Play. Dude. Just call it iTunes.
No, it's Google Pod. It's Apple Podcasts.
You are such an Apple guy. It's crazy.
I'm doing it. That's the way it's supposed to be set.
Are you going to spend $1,000 on the new iPhone?
Probably not.
I bet you do. I wish I could bet on that. Can I share a really weird story real quick?
Sure. Real quick.
Today is really the only day I had some time at home before we leave for L.A. I mowed my lawn. I live on a hill. When I got up to the top of the hill, I find this giant vine, and I'm like, what the hell is this? I start pulling on it, and somehow my backyard in Bethesda, I'm inside the Beltway, I'm a mile to the D.C. line, I got a damn pumpkin patch growing. I had two pumpkins growing in my backyard. I have no idea how this happened.
Did some pumpkin seeds get dropped there or something?
I mean, you know, I'm no botanist, but I guess they must have, but it's annoying as hell. Pulling pumpkins was not part of my plan today.
No.
So that's my really weird story. It's definitely time to cancel the podcast, or not cancel, to close the podcast.
Yes.
All right, Taylor, where does everybody find you, man? Facebook, Twitter.
You know, it occurred to me, I mean, definitely look at Rich_Taylor CSN now, but in a few weeks, that's going to be different, because we'll be...
Oh, yeah.
NBC Sports.
Do we get to get rid of the CSN?
I guess.
At least we'll get rid of the CSN. I wonder if they'll make us put NBCSDC or something.
What do you think?
I think the way you said that means you think they're going to ask us to do that.
No, I think NBC will do fine.
All right, we'll see.
I would not have enough characters if I kept Rich_Candler.
Yeah, that underscore is a killer, dude. Why do you have the underscore?
I don't know. I just did it. And now I might just go Candler CSN. I mean Candler NBC.
Can you change it? If you change it, won't you lose all your followers?
No. You change your Twitter name and just everybody keeps following, nothing happens. So right. Yeah, you guys don't need to worry. It'll just pop up one day, you guys. And there it is.
All right. Well, now that we've done a deep dive into Taylor's Twitter name, I think we're good to call it a day. Folks, thank you for listening. As Rich said, definitely subscribe to the podcast. Give us a new review. We haven't had a new review in a couple days. I get a kick out of them. If you want, tell me if there's any secrets out there to get pumpkins out of your damn lawn, let me know. I am at JPFinleyCSN and Facebook.com/JPFinleyCSN. Thank you guys very much for listening. If you made it this far, I owe you a beer.
I owe you a beer.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Chevy Buick GMC. Let's ride together.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Let's ride together.